You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Tuesday, which is like almost a cast-off day. Like you're not at the beginning of the week. You're not yet to hump day. It's not Friday Eve. It's just Tuesday, but it's a good Tuesday. It's a good Tuesday, and Boomer's on the board. Hey, bro, how are you?
Hey, doing good.
Good for just a Tuesday.
For a Tuesday.
What do you say about, is there a way to be excited about Tuesdays? I mean, are we missing something? Like, should we hype it because of?
Because of?
It's hump day Eve. I don't know. What do we do with this? There's no football games on Tuesdays.
No, that's what really stinks is Wednesday. Yeah, Tuesday, no football games.
Okay.
Starting up.
Should we go ahead and just declare that Right Side Radio refuses to acknowledge Tuesdays anymore?
Welcome to this day.
Yeah. We don't want daylight savings time or Tuesdays, just so you know. All right. Hey, welcome to the show. We got a great show laid on for you. No guests today. The content was too thick. I decided, you know what? Go with what you got. So, I got a triple dipper filled with stuff you're going to want to know. So hit it, buddy.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Right out the gate, number one, got to talk about what's happening in our backyard, right around here, all around us. So we're going to cook up a batch of home fries. That is coming up. Oh, thank you. Throw some on the grill. Thank you so much. Right there in the pan. Home fries is number one on the triple dipper. And then, you know the deal, sometimes when I'm getting ready for the show, and I'm pretty sure I got extra content for it today, sometimes when I'm getting ready, I'm like, wow, the wokeness. Oh, Lord, look at all that woke. And next thing you know, I've got a round of stuff, some of which will make you mad, some will make you laugh, some will make you want to throw your radio. Adventures in Woke World is number two on the triple dipper. And then the ultimate question, probably one of the best lines ever used in a campaign, was when Ronald Reagan was debating Jimmy Carter, and he led off with the question, are you better now? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Well, I'm asking that question again. Bidenomics is number three, and I'm going to lead off with the historical moment when Reagan coined a phrase that is still used today. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And the answer is going to be no. All right, let me jump over to my comments. So, by the way, I do see Mike from Eva just texted in that Tuesday is now a flyover day. Yes, it's a flyover. Yes. And Terry from Hartsell said, it's Taco Tuesday. Okay, we might work with this.
I like Taco Tuesday.
We could
Tuesdays.
Salvage Tuesday for tacos.
Yeah.
All right, we'll give this some prayer and going over. All right, listen, before I get started here, I got to remind you, the monologue, the Right Side Way monologue, is sponsored for you every single day by Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all throughout North Alabama. Places like Anniston, Gadsden, Atala, five locations around the Birmingham area, open 7 days a week. I know the owner. I think the world of him. And anyway, Southern Immediate Care. They are the sponsors for the day's monologue, as always. Okay, here's the deal. I've been seeing a trend. It's a bit of a fatalistic trend. I don't not understand it, but I also don't cotton to it. The trend is for people who are conservative to say, ain't no reason to vote. They've already got the election in the bag because they're going to cheat. Well, first of all, that's a flawed thinking. We don't know for a fact that the cheating is going to be on the same level it was in 2020. There's always cheating. There's always an attempt. But let me just tell you this. As I hear folks saying that the 2024 elections are already rigged, so why bother? Again, a fatalistic view. I got to ask you, was the 2020 election a jacked up mess? Absolutely. Have we fixed all the problems since then? No. Some, but definitely not all. And I get that some of you have the sense that your vote is just an example of, you know, spinning your wheels. Like, why does it matter? What good am I doing? Is anybody paying attention? You could easily ask the question, if I stick out my neck on a campaign, will it be worth it? Well, the short answer is yes, it will. The long answer is The ramifications of good people taking a good stand are not always immediately evident, but they can change the world. Good people taking a good stand, even in small numbers, can change the world just by changing their little piece of it. And that's what I'm talking about today. Nobody listening to my voice today needs to think that they have to go out and change the whole world. But if you just take a stand right where you are, which might mean voting, just in your little small corner, you might be amazed at what happens. And part of that is going to be that none of you sit at home on election day. You will vote. You have to. You have to. If you don't, then they're sure to win. I mean, will somebody somewhere try to cheat? Probably. But I say make them work for it. And to be honest, if we all turn out like we should, it'll work. It will. They will know. Because when good people stand, great things happen. So case in point, let me recommend a book to you. It's on the Right Side Radio website under the recommended reading list. Some of y'all heard me talk about it before. It's called Gates of Fire by Stephen Pressfield. Amazing book. One of the few books that I have read more than once because I got so much out of it. I've mentioned it before. It's mandatory reading in military circles. It's the story of the 300 Spartans who stood in the gap in the face of overwhelming odds. It's a legend. It's history. It's true. It's accurate. It has lessons we can draw from to this very day. Now, many people try to use certain quotes from it, like Molon Labe, as a rallying cry for the Second Amendment, but there's really so much more to it. When you get down to it, there was that one group of men who stood up against all odds, and the truth be told, they may have actually changed the world because the creation of Western civilization sprang from their fight. So here's the deal. I'm going to give you the history lesson. You ready? In the year 480 BC, the Greeks were all a fractured people. Greece was not a nation. Cities like Athens and Sparta and others were known as city-states. Each one was autonomous in their own right, and they often even fought against each other. Some of them were fledgling democracies. They had a Senate and that kind of thing, but they were fractured. Now, on the other side of what we now call the Dardanelles, or what was then called the Hellespont, it was a narrow waterway between the island we call Greece and the Persian Empire. There was the mighty Persian Empire, which we now know today as Iran, and it was back then ruled by a tyrant Persian so-called god king named Xerxes. And Xerxes, he had a hunger for world domination. Now, unlike the Greeks, the Persians were ruled by a single authoritarian king, and he had all power over life and death. And one of the few things that the Greeks could agree on, besides their love for the Olympic Games, was their actual hate of the Persians. Xerxes, he decided he wanted the Greek mainland. He assembled the largest army in the then known world. The Persians actually built a pontoon bridge that was over 3/4 mile long so they could cross over the Hellespont, and they began marching their army across that bridge with the intent to conquer all of Greece. Now, many of the Greek city-states just capitulated right out of fear. They quit. They didn't even try. Among the ones who did not give in were the city-states of Sparta and Athens. Now, the Spartans, they were a warrior class, right? It's said that a Spartan boy was taken from his family when he was young, and he was raised in the way of the warrior. And when they left for battle, it's said that Spartan mothers would actually tell their sons, "This is your shield. Come back with it, or come back on it." Now, the Athenians, they were not a warrior society, but they were strong in their own right. At the same time the invasion was beginning, the Olympic Games were actually going on, and because it was considered a holy time or a sacred time, the Spartan Senate refused to mobilize the army to deal with the advancing Persians. But Spartan King Leonidas, he had the authority to mobilize a small force at any time without political approval. He could have 300 of his most highly trained warriors. So King Leonidas made a leadership decision. One man decided to take a few men, and he met up with a few Athenians and some other stragglers. But the 300 Spartans were in charge, and they became the core of a small stand in the face of what is recounted by history as a million-man army of Persians. So Leonidas, he chose his battleground very carefully. A very narrow pass with cliffs on one side, the sea on the other. And to get from the Hellespont into Greece proper, Xerxes had no choice but to go through this narrow pass in a place we call Thermopylae, a place the Greeks also called the Hot Gates. And the Persians came over, but when they reached the Hot Gates, They met a wall of resistance, and they couldn't find a way around it. High cliffs to one side, a massive drop into the water on the other. 300 Spartans stood in the middle. And for 3 days, history says the 300 Spartans and their Athenian brethren, they stood in that gap shoulder to shoulder, and they gave Xerxes' army such a beating. The Spartans literally broke the will of the million-man Persian army, just plain wore them out. Now, history tells us, by the way, this battle really happened. You may have seen movies that were somewhat fanciful or comic books or whatever. The reality is, it's true. And there are actually a few quotes that came out of that fight that we believe are actual direct quotes from statements that were made during the battle. At one point, hoping to bring the whole thing to an end, Xerxes sent an emissary to promise Leonidas great wealth and power if he would just surrender. The emissary called out, he said, "Throw down your sword," to which Leonidas is famously have said to responded, "Molon labe," which loosely translates to, "You come and take it." One other quote, which is believed to be true, had the emissary saying to them, "But don't you know that our arrows are so many they'll block out the sun?" To which Leonidas' captain, a man named Deinikes, said, "Well, that is good. Then we will have our fight in the shade today." Unfortunately, though, one Greek traitor showed the Persians a secret goat herder's trail through the mountains, and on the third day, the Persian army flanked the Spartans, ultimately killed them all. The stand of Leonidas and his 300 was over, but history says, though, that those 300 galvanized a movement that went way beyond their actions. On its face, it would seem the 300 Spartans lost that day. They lost the actual battle. If the story stopped there, I'd have to agree. But it's what came after that story that really matters, because the 300 Spartans had made the Persians bleed a lot. Their mightiest warriors were no longer so scary. The separate Greek city-states, they rallied around the stand of the 300. They coalesced together as a unified force of cities that, in effect, for the first time, became a Greek nation. And 1 year after the Battle at the Hot Gates, the Persians were soundly defeated by a united Greek people. They limped back across the Hellespont with two-thirds of their army gone. But it didn't end there. Historians believe that on that fateful day, in the narrow pass at Thermopylae, a small group of men took a stand against tyranny and oppression, and they changed the whole world. Had they not done what they did to the Persian Empire, now Iran, Iran would now be controlling the entire hemisphere. And if that had happened, then so much of what we now consider to be Western civilization would never have been born, because it was the early days of the new united Greece after the battle at the Hot Gates that we had the origins of things like true democracy, literacy, self-governance, individual liberties. They all sprang out of that time. So yeah, 300 men took on a fool's errand. They did what they did because they were not going to let the Persians just have it and just win easily. They did not know what would happen if they took their stand at the Hot Gates, but they knew for a fact what would happen if they did not. So what do you care about today? School boards, U.S. Senate and House races, good election laws? You want to see wokeism get pushed back? Maybe your deal is critical race theory or fiscal discipline or lower taxes. Maybe you're determined that one day we'll have better foreign policy, or the economy, or energy independence again, or strong foreign policy overall. None of that's going to improve if we stay home and don't vote. We don't hit every target we aim at, but we absolutely miss every target we don't shoot at. So yeah, the 300 Spartan men in the Hot Gates, those are a lesson for the world. They're a lesson about what happens if a small group will take a stand. So yes, next year, I'm telling you right now, all you right side ruffians, we will vote. And by God, we will work. And that's a wrap for the right side way. Well, yeah, it makes a cool story, and it makes a great movie, and it makes for heroes and the stuff of legends and the things you build statues for. But people don't even realize we might not even have the Western world that we all know and love now had it not been for just 300 men standing up against impossible odds. That's what happens. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. I'm so disturbed. I just found out during the break that Boomer doesn't like meatloaf. I don't know what to think about this.
I do not like meatloaf. I don't know. I think it was just something back when I was traveling so much. We had a lot of meatloaf, and I probably just...
Had a lot of meatloaf just, on the road?
Yeah. I ate so much different stuff on the road. So some of it, they said it was meatloaf, but I don't know what it was.
So is meatloaf a Southern thing? I jokingly said that's the Oregon side of your family coming out of you, but I don't know. Is meatloaf a nationwide thing?
It was meatloaf. I had a lot of meatloaf in the lasagna.
Oh, yeah.
Lasagna.
get some Anya in you.
Yeah, it was a lot. So they, now I just...
Too much time on the road.
Too much, yeah.
So we got a local restaurant around here called Pruitt's, and you can always tell there's certain things. We were talking about how just a minute ago somebody texted in. Who was it that texted in? Allison from Madison said Taco Tuesday, and I said I love me some Meatloaf Monday over at Pruitt's, and then you went.
I just
can't do it.
Can't do the meatloaf.
I'm disturbed.
I know it's all right. So. I don't know. I just can't do it.
Okay, we'll let it ride. Hey, listen, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Right off the bat, I got a text here from Ryan from Hazel Green saying, any idea we can make our picks? So I guarantee you he's talking about the NCAA pick'em you set up.
You know what, Ryan? I wish I could tell you.
And no meatloaf
either.
I'm going
to defer to Yahoo on that one. I'm sure they're going to release those picks hopefully soon. Tonight or tomorrow.
Because you mentioned earlier, there's Thursday games.
There are Thursday games. Now, if they're doing, have Thursday games for the pick
them,
that's up to them. But
because it's a top 25?
Top 25, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll see. I mean, surely they're going to release it soon. I wish I could tell you. I looked it up today because I was wondering the same thing. And it said it will be released the 28th or after. Well, 28th or after, that's today. So, come on.
Okay, so if you don't know what we're talking about, Boomer, in all his creativity and sports lovingness and lack of meatloaf, decided he was going to go ahead and put together our Right Side Ruffian NCAA pick'em.
Yes.
And tell them where they can find it.
Yeah, go to our website, www.rightsideradio.org. Top right-hand corner, you will see a little link. You can click it. It'll take you to a page on our website to tell you the directions and another link that you can push to sign up. And I'm guessing that we will be able to pick your teams, and it's just whoever's going to win, who you think is going to win out of your picks. Push submit, and then we'll see who wins the rest for the season.
Are there prizes at the end of the season?
I'm sure there could be prizes.
As I stroke my chin and ponder, I believe there has to be.
I think so.
Okay, so then we have to figure out what do we do if we tie.
Ooh.
We got to find a way to do the NCAA Pick'em playoffs.
Ooh, okay. We can
do
that.
I don't know how we do this.
Well, we'll see who ties first. Are you planning on tying?
No.
With no participation trophies. Come on.
There's no participation trophies on Right Side Radio. By God. All right. All right, listen. We got plenty more where that came from. Coming right back. Dipper number one, home fries. We'll talk about what's happening in and around you here in Alabama. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.